Welcome to the Digital Engagement Forecast. I'm Hemming Nelson.
And I'm Brian Kassler.
On today's forecast, we have Drew Schneider. He's by day, he's the director of interactive media for Stars and Stripes newspapers. But at night, he's the publisher of Petworth News. Not only the publisher, but he's the editor and the reporter and the copy editor and the delivery man for Petworth News, which is a great little local blog he started last year, which provides local news in the Petworth neighborhood of D.C. And what did you say, Brian? He's using what and what to do what?
Well, he's using sweat equity and technology to build a local community.
Yeah, so we're going to find out more about how he's doing that. And we should add that today's episode is sponsored by our beverage sponsor, Charity Engine. They're a nonprofit software platform for online donor management, fundraising, events, and communications. And that's charityengine.net.
Yeah, if your CRM is driving you to drink, give Charity Engine a call.
Yep, so here's our conversation with Drew.
You did Segway tours?
Yeah, I was a Segway tour guide for like 4 years as my hobby job. I've got this bad habit of picking up.
You spend a lot of time on your hobbies. They're very,
labor-intensive. I spend way too much time, you know, on some of my hobbies. I went out with some friends on a tour. I'd never gone before. It looked cool. And I came back from the tour and I said, I want to ride this all the time.
Yeah.
And they were $5,000 and I did the math and the Metro was cheaper. So instead, I just convinced a Segway company to hire a guy who's never given a tour and had only ridden a Segway once.
Did you just pick it up pretty quickly, or were there any spills early on?
No, you know, I fell on a Segway twice. Both times were...
Do you guys mind if I just have all the bacon?
No, it's all you. I get to have it at home. It's fine.
You're like, oh, it's undercooked. Let me just eat it all.
Do you mind if I have all the bacon?
That's some reverse psychology right there.
I want all the bacon.
You guys don't want any of this, right? It's really...
It's not really
it's
cooked.
So good.
It's really bad.
Eat it for you.
It's oily. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Drew opened up with a tour one time.
Yeah?
We got to cruise around on the Segways for a day. That's really fun to do, actually.
I got to do like a little lap in an indoor circuit with one, and... it's incredible. Those things. It's just too bad there's a stigma about how you look on them because the technology is actually really smart.
Once you get over that, or you just don't care what people think about you, it's a ton of fun.
Like most mall cops.
Yeah. You know, and what's funny is you're pretty popular with the tourist groups as you're going around, people looking at you, and everyone from Korea and China who are down at the White House where you stop to do the tour there. I must be in so many pictures in the Pacific Rim of me with someone smiling, like, you know, I'm just a tour guide now. Oh, yeah, on a Segway. But they're just a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of like snowboarding down the street or doing anything, you know.
Well, what's the distance you cover around those on a tour?
On a tour, it's a couple of miles.
A couple miles.
3 miles, something like that. Because we went down from I Street down to the White House to the Capitol and make it like a big... big circle around.
I definitely, everybody who asks me, like, what am I going to do when I come to Washington, I always include that, because it's like, if it's hot out, it's nice and cool to ride those. You can cover a shitload of ground in a short amount of time and see all the monuments in a couple hours. And it's fun to do at the same time.
Yeah, and then it's just fun to do.
I almost got a gift certificate for a friend who just had a birthday. At the last minute, I switched it out for whiskey, but it was almost, almost a Segway tour.
And by the way, the number one category of people who fall in the Segway?
Drunk.
No. Oh. It's the 29 to 33-year-old male who feels really ultra-confident. And it's almost always at a red light. Because they're standing there and they're playing with it back and forth and doing nothing, they just fall down.
What's the worst spill you've seen?
Broken arm is the one I saw.
Ooh.
Yeah, she rode right into one of those security bollards, the giant...
as she was cruising
concrete,
like 50 miles an hour.
And like, she just wasn't paying attention, and I just hear the...
That's why you wear a helmet.
Yeah, and luckily, like, and she only hurt herself because she put her arm out, and it was a huge bollard. It went down off of, like, Independence Ave or something, and she just went right into the arm. But she was good humored about it once. and I had fun. She had left her purse. And so I took the Segway down to the hospital to meet them with the purse. So it was great. So I just got to cruise down the street to the GW on the Segway. Ton of fun.
Nice. So that was a very time-intensive hobby that you had for a few years, and then you decided to switch that up and become a gumshoe reporter in
community
the
blogger,
streets of
yeah.
Petworth. So what was the genesis of that? I know it was sometime last fall that you started this.
So I'll actually take you back a little bit further and say, you know, so I've lived
where
in
were
Petworth.
You born?
Yeah, so I was born on a farm. No, moved to Petworth 11 years ago or so, and we'd always been active in the community, but we got more involved and started a local newspaper, an actual print paper, back in 2007 called the Grant Circular.
Oh, really? Who was involved in that?
It was Heather and I, my wife and I, and Jackie Arenz and her husband, who's now passed, and we got together and did the design layout, wrote all the articles, and there was no ads. It was just all stories about things going on in the area.
Is this like you're printing it off on 8.5 by 11 paper at
yeah.
your office?
And yeah, more like I think it was more like 11 by 14 folded in half kind of dealio.
What year is this?
2007, 2006. And what's funny is the idea of putting up a site never really occurred to us. I think it's because the idea was Jackie's. Originally, like, let's do a print paper and we'll give it out across the area.
Probably 2006, it was a little harder to just put up a site. Huh?
Or was it not? There were still... I mean, there, you know, you had Blogger. Blogger was out there, and you had the early days. But it wasn't the kind of thing that you necessarily would assume that people were going to be online and looking at it in the same sense. And we thought it was fun. It was Grant Circular, and you'd print it up. And Jackie's husband was a print designer, so he just seemed to fit in naturally. But we did that for 2 years, and, you know, it was a little exhausting. It was hard, and it's hard to negotiate with four people trying to run around. So fast forward to the past year or two, and... Again, I'm looking for ways to be active in the community. So I ended up running for the commissioner for ANC in the area. And I didn't run too hard, but it was me and one other guy, and I lost by 29 votes. I'll put that out there. I'm okay with
but
it.
You're not,
yeah. Wait, 29 out of 30?
Yeah, right? No. There were
how many
are
we talking?
It was a couple hundreds. In fact, more people didn't vote at all, undervotes. Than
man, were you more pissed, though, to lose by 29 than to lose by...
No. The guy who won, great guy, and he's doing a great job. I'm very happy about that. But the reason why that's meaningful to the story is... I started a Facebook page for the campaign, and I would just post about things going on in this single-member district. You know, before the election, during the election, and after the election, I decided, okay, so I didn't win. I'm just going to keep posting about what's going on in this single-member district. That's what I will do. I'll just write about fun things that are going on. And what actually happened is there was...
So for the campaign, what did you have, a Facebook page?
Yeah, I had a Facebook page. ANC 4C07, you know, was the Facebook page, and I had the Twitter account and email address and everything else to get out there and message, because, you know, for me it was about hitting all the different platforms that people might be at. And when I transitioned it to just news going on in the area, there actually had been a series of shootings, and I started writing about the shootings, and I started, you know, talking to the police and starting to get invited to a crime briefing with the mayor, and all of a sudden my little Facebook page went from 100 likes, you know, to 200 likes, to 300 likes, to 400. It just kept going and going and going. And
how often were you putting stuff up there?
So in the beginning it was maybe, you know, once a day kind of a thing, once every 2 days, two articles a day, depending. Sometimes they're just sharing links.
Who was this for? I mean, hey, was this, you know, a small group of people that you knew and had met through the campaign, friends or family, or just, you know, something to do?
So the original group of people were friends and family, as you would imagine a campaign page would be. But for me, it was important that likes come from people in the area, not outside of the area, because it doesn't matter to me if you live in Georgia or in California. If you're not, you don't. It doesn't matter what goes on in my area. But as time went on, as now we're looking into December and going into January, so I rebranded the Facebook page to be Petworth News instead of just my local little SMD, and it just continued to be popular. And I continued to, you know, writing more and more original work and more long form posts. And one of the things that was important was I went to, and I still go to, the Advisory Neighborhood Commission meetings, and I go to the patrol service area meetings with the MPD, and I go to these things, and I write up notes, and I take lots of pictures, and I share all that. And those are very popular.
Are you doing it now out of a sense of obligation to keep the news coming, or is it you're really interested in what's going on down the street, and that's just the writing is more of an extension of your natural sort of activism impulse?
So I would say that it's about, at this point anyway, it's about 80% my interest in what's going on in the community, and 20% of the interest, or 20% is now become, it's I've created this beast that wants to be fed. And but like anything that you do, when you receive positive feedback, it's an encouragement. And when people come up to me on the street and they say, "Hey, you're Drew, right? Hey, I like that blog. I really appreciate what you do." That's a positive reinforcement. Yeah. That you feel like, oh, okay, so people appreciate it. And, you know, now the blogs, it's the Facebook page, at least it alone has like 1,150 likes, you know, and it's not bad considering it really kind of started to take off in December, January. So we're talking about 6 months and it did very well. So I think that's just because people, if I filled a niche, there was a missing local news that mm-hmm. wasn't there anymore.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Petworth, just to kind of get a sense of what your community is like and what the things you see are happening that warrant, you know, kind of like coverage and sharing with the neighbors.
So Petworth started back in 17. No, actually, it did, but I'm moving forward. You know. Petworth is an interesting area, and nowadays it's an area that's, in terms of community and the people who live there and the housing market, it's all a very mixed group now. It's, at least as of a few months ago, 6 months ago even, it was the number one hottest area in the country to buy and flip homes. The average purchase price was $333,000, and the average sale price was like $666,000. And so you're seeing a lot of houses getting flipped and people selling their houses, you know, that haven't been updated in 70 years and turned over. But what you're also seeing is the people who are now moving in and have been moving in since, I mean, you know, and it's certainly 11 years that I've been there. People are feeling, I think, a real sense of neighborhood and a real sense of community and the pride and excitement about where they live. And so now we have a Celebrate Petworth Festival, we have a jazz night that we do, we have a farmer's market, we have a dance project, a modern dance project, we have a new bookstore. I mean, how many places get a brand new community actual bookstore that sells real books at real low prices?
What's a bookstore?
So at Upshire Street Books, you know,
did they move from another location in D.C., or are they brand new?
No, I give props. A gentleman named Paul Rupert came in, and he identified that you know, Upshire Street between 8th and 9th was an area just ready to be developed, and it really was. And Petworth was an area ready to be developed, and more so. And he came in and
took over. And that's right about where Dom Ku is, right? Like right off of George Avenue, a block or so?
That's correct. Right off of the 8th and 9th Northwest, and right in that stretch. And so Rupert came in, and he put in Petworth Citizen, Upshire Street Books, and Crane and Turtle, two restaurants and this bookstore. And it really dynamically changed that area. I mean, Dom Ku was doing a great job and been there for a long time, but
they were the only thing that I used to ever go to Petworth for.
Yeah, sure. And most people,
except for that little antique store across the street,
Bentley's, yeah, great place. Big fan of Bentley's. But so now you have the Morrell Building on Georgia, and Upshire is becoming a diner, Slim's Diner, and there's just a lot of excitement. And I think so when it reflects, I think, on why the blog itself is popular, is people really, I think, are hungry for community. I live in a neighborhood. I live in Petworth. They're very excited about that. And that's, I think, is why we have all of a sudden all these different festivals and all things are going on, and why there's an interest in this blog. And it's one of the reasons why I do the blog, is I'm interested in contributing back to the community by helping to create, or helping to support, the idea of it's a neighborhood and these are the things that are going on in the neighborhood. And some of them are just sort of fluff, like, hey, you know, jazz night's on Saturday, hope everybody comes, to, you know, there was a shooting. And then what I try to do then is I try to go and talk to the police about it and try to create an engagement between the community and the police.
I say, you've mentioned shootings a few times now. Yeah. Is there any crime between jazz night and a shooting, or is it just all the way to the end of the spectrum?
Well, you know,
the shootings, the ones that get all the Facebook attention.
Well, the number one crime in Petworth and Brightwood and that Crestwood, that kind of area, the number one crime.
Car break-ins. I read your blog.
There you go. Theft from cars. It's number one. And it's really crimes of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, second to that.
Keep your purses out of sight.
Yeah, don't leave the computer bag on the front seat. The issues that with shootings are the ones, though, that are more traumatic to people because it's a gun. There's bullets. They're flying, and they're just mm-hmm. – they can go anywhere. And, in fact, some of the issues that people have had is these just random sort of shootings. And a car gets shot up or the side of a house does. And that's very, very scary. You hear about a break-in of a car, and it's like, oh, that's terrible. That happened to you. But this is – it could have come through my window, mm-hmm. right? My kid was in the street 30 minutes ago, quote unquote, somebody had said. So, I mean, obviously, it's scary. And so, again, you know, for one of my sort of target goals with the blog is to sort of be a liaison between the community and MPD and sort of try to help build a bridge of communication. I don't want to be the mouthpiece for the community because that's not my place to step up and say, I know what's best for the community. And I'm not looking to be a mouthpiece for the police. I'm just looking to be a resident who's involved and builds trust on both sides.
Right? Now, this sounds like it takes a lot of time. And you have a full-time job otherwise? Mm-hmm. Is this true?
I do. I'm actually employed by somebody. Yeah.
And so... You're going out 3-4 nights a week to community meetings. You're posting, from what I could tell, probably 1 to 2 kind of short articles every day. You're probably also tweeting about that.
That's right.
And posting Instagram and stuff. So how many hours a week are you spending doing this?
You know, I'm imagining, I haven't tracked it for fear of the actual number, but it's got to be 20 or 30 hours a week. You know, last night I was at a social hour in Southwest Petworth, and so I was there, you know, 2.5 hours taking pictures and talking to people.
Was it the lemonade party?
Right, the lemonade social in Southwest Petworth. And then, of course, I go home and process those photos and write up something and publish them, and that takes more time.
That takes a lot of discipline.
It's fun, though. The difference is it's fun. You know, it's not like, all right, I got to go back and, you know, go do something. It's fun to go back and do it. In fact, the problem I have is I don't have enough time to actually dedicate to write some of the things I really want to be writing. And I have to just find when is that. Like, so tonight when I leave here, I'm going to go home and try to keep working, you know, on an article. I've got a list of drafts I'm working on that are more long form writing that I think are important. They shouldn't be the only thing I write. People want to know that there's a new restaurant and just post that.
Yeah.
But I also think it's important to write a little bit longer about things that are going on in the area because I think people appreciate that too.
And so you're obviously not making any money off of this.
Not really. I do have sponsors on the site now. In fact, so I left Facebook and went to – I didn't leave Facebook, take it back. I've grown alongside of Facebook and I launched
– I saw a guy with a shirt today that said, I'm not on fucking Facebook.
Well, you know, that's true. A lot of people say to me, hey, is there a way for me to get your news upping on Facebook? And of course, my answer is you can still get it off the page. It's not – the page isn't locked away. But so I launched the PetworthNews.org as a separate site, and then I publish long form on the separate blog and then cross-post back manually. I don't do an automatic. I manually will post back to Facebook. And I'll publish things first on Facebook, but generally I think it's longer I'll publish on the actual blog. And there is a very
specific purpose. And then you'll promote it across
everything.
The tweets and the
Twitters
and the Facebooks.
I'm very aware of the different platforms I use and how I use them. And even to using short links to track, you know, click-throughs. Because for me, it's the interest level.
Oh, you've got MailChimp too.
And I've got a newsletter. And I do a newsletter with MailChimp. Yeah.
And we've talked about this actually on some of the other podcasts about measuring engagement versus just pure vanity metrics.
That's right. That's right.
So what are you doing in that area? You said you've got some URL shorteners, your crossposts, manually crossposts in here and there. How do you kind of manage all your own metrics?
So I'm obsessed with metrics. It's off. That's my other hobby is watching numbers, apparently. So I use Bitly as a shortener to track what I see is a level of engagement. Are people clicking the link to, and therefore using it? And of course, I have Google Analytics on the site. I can track engagement on Facebook in terms of the reach, which is where I got some of the early sort of confidence in what I was doing, because things were reaching, you know, 25 people. All of a sudden, they're reaching 2,500 people. I had an article hit 10,000 people. And it's like, really? How, you know? So I look at those metrics. I look at, I use Squarespace as the provider for the website, and I'm looking at those metrics and articles that are being read and things like that. And so for me, again, it's all about the engagement. What are people using? And I'm not at this moment focused on, I mean, I'm interested in time on site. I'm interested on the path, but I don't have the site set up specifically to
keep people
to
there.
Funnel. Yeah. Right. Because there is a certain way to design a site, as you guys know, to keep people on a site and keep them engaged and bring them on page one, page two, page three, and bring them along. With the blog, there's times when I'll put a full post just right up on the main page of the blog, and then there's times when I'll only put up a teaser, and you have to click to read more. And I generally do that if it's just because it's very long content, and I don't want the whole main page to be one long article with like 50 images in a gallery. But when I put them up as separate pages, it's easier to track what the actual people are using. So, you know, I use the metrics to really judge what's popular, what are they interested in, and should I be writing more about those things? Or it's just good to know that they're interested in it, but maybe that's not what I should be focused on, but I should definitely try to have those type of articles because clearly that there is an interest.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you were taking advertising.
Yeah, so sponsors.
So were you actually going out and knocking on doors and saying, hey, I'd love to get some money? Or did someone just say, hey, can I throw something up here and here's $50?
Yeah, so this actually started, this idea, I realized when I was spending 20 plus hours a week on this. So, you know, it would be nice to be able to do like a party. It'd be nice to be able to spend money on a Petworth News 5K or be a sponsor of the Celebrate Petworth Festival. Well, it'd be nice if I had sponsors for that. And I actually provided a perk for an Indiegogo campaign for the Celebrate Petworth Festival where one of the perks was have an article written about your business or yourself or a topic that you'd like. I'll write about you. And we sold them at $250 as the perk level, and they both sold.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, really? And it was actually one of the people who purchased. It made me realize in talking with him that there was clearly interest to sponsor it. That it wasn't so much money or advertise. It was they want to be seen as sponsoring a local resource, and they want to show their own dedication to the Petworth community by saying, you know, holding themselves up as a sponsor. And then so I have just ads on the page that I tried not. It's all local. It's all local people. And to actually go back and answer your original question, I tried the let's go knock on doors for one day, and I went to a couple of different local establishments. I only wanted very small places, the Boyle Cafe on Georgia Avenue. And
did you go to that little corner market down the street from your house?
I did not go to the Riad, except to hope that they would close shortly for. They're selling synthetic drugs. I'm not a fan of them. And I can say that because I'm not in the police department. Allegedly, I'll add that in there. Not so much. But so, no, and I realized I wasn't interested in chasing it down. I was interested in trying to find people who wanted to promote themselves and support the area. And I was dedicated to only have people who had shown that they had an interest in supporting Petworth, not just a random ad. And as you'd expect, a lot of real estate people are interested in, because I get a lot of people looking to move into Petworth.
Yeah.
But like, I've got a yoga place that's doing in it, and I also have ads where I just put them up for free. So any like nonprofit that's in the area that I think is great, the Old Soldiers Home, the Armed Forces Retirement Home, mm-hmm. the Friends, I do an ad for them, the Jazz Project, the Dance Project, I just put up an ad for them for free to give them exposure. Because that's how people hear about them, and hopefully that'll increase engagement for them.
You know what this sounds like to me is like the good old days of like the neighborhood newspaper, you know, probably yeah. in the turn of the century, like the early 1900s, when you know it suddenly became a technology that was available to the masses, and there were thousands and thousands of newspapers, you know, sprouting up every year across country, and. You know, the economics of newspapers obviously changed that situation toward the end of the century. But now, like, this is a new medium where, you know, encouraging people like you who have an interest and who have the ability and I guess the luxury of the time to be able to do this. But you know, it sounds like you're building a publishing empire. Like you're getting advertising. You're looking at distribution channels. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about metrics. So what happens next? Is there a thoughtful process behind this, or is it just sort of like something else comes to you one day and you take it there?
And do you have any help?
No, it's just me. But I'm started.
That's what you need, is an intern.
Yeah. If anybody's looking for an internship with Petworth News,
we know journalists can't find jobs. What? Right? Sorry, journalists.
Yeah. This is a tradition. We interrupt someone right in the middle of their thought to.
There you go.
Have a word from our sponsor.
So, in fact, as I'm getting involved with more things going on in the community and such, it's harder and harder to be at multiple places at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes what becomes more important to cover and why. Why is that important? And those are things I think about. And so when I think about the long term, I'm not thinking very far down the road yet because I don't know.
Is it sustainable? Like, do you feel like a year from now you'd definitely
that's the question.
See yourself doing this?
Right. Is this sustainable from my perspective and my level of effort? And is it sustainable from the community's effort, you know, point of view? And I think that's what I'm looking at. As people are more and more interested, more and more engaged, then it tells me there's an interest in what I'm doing. There's a value that people feel. And so that encourages me to want to keep doing it and looking at it. So for right now, my target is let's see what happens next year, right? I'm sort of committed to doing this for a year, if nothing else, because I have an annual sponsor, so gotta hook them up. You know, look at it in the year, and if there's still the same level of interest or higher, I'll be honest, I think the interest is just going to continue to grow. It's been 6 months, and those metrics just keep. Mm-hmm. Just keep going on.
Are there any other organizations or newsletters or websites that are similar to yours in other neighborhoods around D.C. that you know of?
Yeah, there are a lot. I'm not breaking new ground here by any far means. You know, in fact, when I moved into the area, Bill Crandall ran Petworth News. It was at petworthnews.com, which at the moment someone else owns and has parked some, like, dog shit. Bathing website. It's really weird. So I'm at petworthnews.org. But there are.
It's a reoccurring problem with that guest, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone's parked. You know, and of course, Prince of Petworth, like I said, started as Popville. He started out as a Petworth blogger, but he decided to go full time and make this his career, and he spent it across the city. And you've got other communities. Parkview has a blog that's run by Kent Bowes, and he's actually an ANC commissioner. And Acacia and Capitol Hill, and there's all these sorts of local bloggers, and you know, we probably should be having ourselves a little community meeting to figure out how we can work together, really, in terms of what we do.
The Neighborhood News Service Association of Washington, D.C.
The Local Bloggers Association, yeah, right?
You know, when earlier in the week, I was actually reading this article about it was basically a class project put together by a bunch of seniors in high school to basically document their life through the different types of social media and new media formats that they use. And it was actually really interesting because I remember when I was in high school, we actually had a school paper, which seems to have been done away with. And actually, voices of that generation seem to be caught in their niche, but there seems to be actually almost like this firewall between actually having websites that bridge, I don't know, youth and adulthood. And you look at these community websites, and for the most part, there's maybe things that are targeted towards the parents, but you find very few under 18 contributors on the site. I think that's actually a missing voice when I look at a lot of these community blogs. I have to imagine that they're out there, they're blogging on their own platforms.
They're microblogging.
Yeah, but they're not participating in this with
Tumblr?
This other demographic.
Well, Tumblr certainly is insanely popular. Tumblr, an interest. And then being, you know, whether it's Instagram and Snapchat and WhatsApp. And, I mean, I think that's a lot of it.
who reads your stuff? Do you know?
You want me to give you the list of names? Like right here. No.
Is it the old ladies?
No, you know. So of course, being so interested in metrics, and certainly on Facebook, I'm looking at the metrics, and I'm very on Facebook. I skew like 50x% female over male, so it's like maybe 55% female, 45% male.
But what's the makeup of Petworth?
I don't know. That's actually a good question that you'd think I'd pull out of my pocket. Like, I'll make it up. It's like 55% female. I don't know. But on Facebook, you know, I wasn't surprised to see that the engagement was higher among women on the site. But it's that 24 to 44 is the most interested. I have some, like,
according to demographics. Advertisers are going to love you, man.
Well, I'm telling you. And, you know, what I see a lot also is the people, again, who are, I'm interested in moving into Petworth, and I found your blog, and it told me X, Y, Z about you, and I can't wait to move there, right? And so that's why I think the realtors love my blog. But, yeah, I definitely hit that, you know, I'm ready to move to a nicer apartment. I'm ready to move into a community. I'm ready to buy a house. Where could I buy it? In an area that we know is, you know, still improving and still getting better, and so that's that demographic.
There's only a couple years left of that wave, I think, and before it moves further east.
Well, I think it's moving north also in the area, and what's happening is, and this is partly going back to the shooting issues, is what's happening is, you know,
what's north of Petworth besides Silver Spring?
The earth just ends right at Petworth, and for as I'm, I'm just kidding.
It's like that New Yorker poster with the.
Right. No. Love for all my readers who are north of Petworth. You know, you get into Brightwood, Brightwood, Crestwood, Shepherd Park, and you got Tacoma and Tacoma Park, and
Tacoma Park, I guess, right? Okay.
But then, you know, I also have a lot of readers who are on 16th Street Heights and Northern Corner and that kind of area, and that's north. And you know, depending where you are in relation to the park, right, east and west of the park. But you know, when I moved to Petworth. You know, there's an open-air drug market right around the corner. One of them, there was another one around the other corner. Shootings were more common.
They probably will be in the open-air drug market again. Yeah. It'll be legal, and there'll be, you know,
but a lot of that,
farmer's market soon.
You know, now it is a farmer's market.
Every Saturday.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was moving north. And what's happening is it's almost like a street at a time. You see development, you see houses getting flipped, and you see things improving, and you see, you know, stores taking down the bars in front of their windows, but it's also not, there's no solutions to the problems, and this is one of my little pedestal issues, wanting to get the city and the community more involved in what are we doing from a socioeconomic standpoint to resolve some of the issues that haven't gone away, that they've just sort of been pushed away, and so that's something that I think people are interested in.
You're talking about pushed out of Petworth, or you're talking about pushed in the corners of Petworth? Like, basically what you're saying is it's gentrifying. So people are buying houses, housing is more expensive, and so people who can't afford those houses have to then move out of the neighborhood. Is that...
My only disagreement with that comment, because I would agree with it, up to that people then have to move out of the neighborhood because they can't, you know, it's... I'm concerned about the landlord who's selling their building so they can flip it into condos and sell it for $5 million, those people are definitely getting pushed out, and that's a problem, right? But the person who – what's more common in Petworth is the people who are selling their house for $350,000, $400,000 that the family has lived in for 50 years, and they're selling it, and it's flipping, and it's being sold for $850,000. And so they're making money off that sale, and that's – is that that's gentrification, but that's not a negative thing towards development. It's the, I know of a story over on Jefferson Street where the landlord is trying to basically sell the building, you know, from underneath the tenants, and the tenants are now organizing themselves under the rules of tenants in the first right of refusal to buy the building with a developer on the road. They found a developer to come in and work with them. And that's great. Those are people who are trying to stop, like trying to participate. They want to stay here. They want to participate. They just can't afford a $500,000 condo. You know, they've got their apartment. They've lived in 30 years. They want to stay there, and they should. And so they're finding companies who will come in, improve the building, and allow them, but work with them so they can stay.
Yeah,
I was in a apartment building that was being bought out, and I was actually surprised how confused the other tenants were when because they have to give notification that it's being sold.
Right.
But they're actually every other tenant I had spoke to misinterpreted what that document was all about. And I read through it, and it was pretty straightforward. Either collectively we had to form some form of legal entity and come up with $200 million, or this building was going to be sold in, you know, the next 30 days if we, if we didn't file legal notice.
So what did you do?
I moved, actually. I had already submitted my plan to terminate my lease at that point. But, you know, first right of refusal, but it doesn't mean it's still a possibility.
Yeah.
So if you're running this new service to kind of help people get engaged and to help tenants understand what their rights are and maybe, you know, take a step forward for themselves and buy their apartments or, you know, whatever it happens to be. But how are you, you know, you said you're looking at metrics. Are you thinking about that kind of engagement? Are you thinking like, hey, I write this article because I want to help push this, or I'm offering this kind of follow through activism through the site? Like, are you thinking about it in terms of actual change, or are you thinking more like, I'm going to put some information out there and just to help people know a little bit more so they can take that step themselves?
So I like to think that the main purpose of the site, you know, the blog, is to inform people so they can be actively engaged by their own choice, right? But there's times when I will go after an article or after a topic, you know, pedestrian safety. I mean, Lucky agrees with me. It's important. I'll go after something like pedestrian safety at Grand Circle or crime issues. And I look at, and I'm actively thinking about how, what kind of information, how does that help, right? Versus the article about the new Thai restaurant coming in. So I think about that.
But those are editorial decisions. I was thinking more in terms of technology. Like, is there anything you're doing when you're looking at the stats? Is that influencing your decision about who's reading or what you're writing? Or
sure. I mean, so two good examples.
What's hot right now? Is I think what Hemmings asked.
We're allegedly running the digital engagement forecast here, and so I was, you know, the reason that I really wanted to talk to you is because it's 90% sweat equity what you're doing.
That's right.
It takes a commitment, and you got to come home and sit in front of your computer until 1 a.m. when you could be sleeping. And there's obviously that bar you got to get over, which is a very high hurdle. But once you get over that, you know, then how are you leveraging the technology to realize that ambition, you know? And I read your, you know, I spent a couple hours on the site last night, and I read the mission statement. It was an activist mission statement.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
It was like, I want to engage the community to make this a better place to live. Mm-hmm. Or paraphrasing, I'm not sure what exactly you said.
It's close enough. Sounds good. I might use that, actually.
Might change it. So do you see technology playing a role in that, though? Like,
it's all technology. I mean, it's, you know, everything from the photos I take with my iPhone because it's convenient to my Nikon, to Instagramming that photo out, to writing the article, getting the shortened link, putting that up on Twitter with a photo, and then, you know, putting that up on Facebook, and how I do it and the choices I make to say photos might go, like large galleries might go on Facebook so that people can tag themselves so that friends can see each other, and then that increases engagement with Petworth News. And then the rest of the content may be on the blog so you can engage with the photos and then read the full article on the actual blog site. And so I'm looking at, I very much look at what is the right medium I should be using to tell that story, whether it's just an Instagram. Like, I sent out an Instagram this evening about a car that tried to run me over, and I took a picture of the car, and I put it up on Instagram and fired it off. Now I have it set up so that it goes to Instagram, it gets tweeted, and it gets posted on Facebook automatically.
And your friends at the DCPD are going to...
Well, they are looking at that, and the license is on there. And so I, you know, being able to say, for example, I use If This Then That to do a lot of the automated process for cross posting.
What is that?
So ifthisthenthat.com. It's ifttt.com is a web service that has it's a really interesting premise. It says basically, think of it as Mad Libs. If blank, then blank. Right. So for me, you can put in what they call recipes. So if I publish an Instagram photo, then publish that photo automatically onto my Facebook page for me. And so all
kind
I have
like
to do...
Hootsuite or something.
No. Here's an example. I actually used this to find an apartment in Washington, D.C. I set up a monitor on If This and That to watch Craigslist for any apartment listings that met my criteria. And then if they met my criteria, text me a link to the Craigslist. So, you know, places go quick, and I was getting notifications within 2 to 3 minutes. But you can also set them up to cross-post content as well.
That's right. I mean, you can use it. It's actually a really, really handy thing. You can use it to change your Nest thermostat, right? If the forecast increases to 86 degrees, decrease my thermostat at my home by X number. Like, so it's whatever a recipe you can sort of create, and it has connections, APIs back to it.
There's a free tier, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not paying. So, you know, I do enjoy it though. Thank you very much. But, I use that. That makes it easy, but I only use that for, you know, I go back for me, it's about, I'm very aware of how I publish. I'm a writer. That's my background. So I'm very aware of the words I use. I'm very aware of how things are designed and how they're published, how you actually see them as a reader. So that's why I don't let full content automatically post. I don't have it go post from my blog to Facebook automatically. It's always me going in and writing something. But a photo saves me 10 minutes not having to log into Twitter or, you know, open that app and send it out and Facebook. So for me, the technology aspect is people are finding me via technology. People use me on their phones. Mobile is 60%+.
Wow.
Plus, for usage on the site itself. Sometimes it's 50%. The lowest it's been is like 51%. The highest.
Do you have a lot of recurring visits?
Yeah. So the blog itself has been live for a month, the website. And so I've got 30 days of traffic. And
oh, that's all. Okay.
The actual website, right? The Facebook, I launched it May 23rd. So now it's been a month. And in the month, it's 4,000 people have hit the site. Versus Facebook, where my reach can be 10,000 because of people just commenting or they like it, and that shows up in their friends' feeds because so-and-so liked it, so now it shows up in your feed because your friend liked my photo. So all of a sudden, things that I'm writing go much further.
What's the stuff you think that gets shared the most?
Certainly, quote-unquote, fun things in the neighborhood, new restaurants coming. Those are just insanely popular. Sometimes the reports I might write about MPD or crime going on in the area, people where they feel like they want to know. But honestly, a lot of times it's the fun things because that's what people like to share. You know, hey, this is going on. Do you guys want to go with me? And you know, or they'll write someone's name into the comments of Facebook as a way of tagging that person to the article so they'll see it and come look at it.
Do you allow commenting on the site itself?
I do.
Do you use Facebook comments or some other system?
No, I use Discuss. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought about it. I wanted a tool that gave me good control, a blacklist of terms, or I could ban you if I wanted to, because unlike some other blogs, I don't want to allow anonymous comments, and I don't want to allow bullying and negative comments. I don't want people disagreeing. Knock yourselves out. But I have a commenting policy on the site which says, comment as if the person was in front of you. But if you sound like a bully or you're just too much negativity, then, you know, I might warn you and otherwise I might just block you because I'm not interested in that sort of vitriol. Obviously on Facebook, it's open. You can comment what you want. And I don't editorialize those comments. I looked at using Facebook comments on the website itself. To be honest, I wasn't sure how much control I was going to have over it. And I was a little more familiar with Discuss, and I thought I'd try that angle. To be honest, one out of every 7 articles gets a comment on the blog, and every single post on Facebook gets comments.
That was actually one of the reasons I had asked. It's kind of it's unfair because Facebook doesn't give you the moderation tools you need. Yeah. They've gotten better. They're trying to actually address concerns of being known as a harborer for harassment, just like Twitter. We're trying to address those concerns. But the sad news is that, you know, even some of the biggest blogs I view daily I go to the bottom of this article, and I'm not the first person to look at it, and there's no comments. Nobody's commenting. And then I see it on Facebook, and it's got 150 comments.
That's right.
And so, you know, when I work with clients, I want to, you know, offer options, you live fire, discuss, but the truth of it is all the conversation seems to be happening through Facebook's commenting system. It's, I remember one I looked at after a whole year, and we had like two people log in with a Yahoo account. And I was like, well, that was a waste of time.
If I could connect an article on the blog comments to that same posting on Facebook.
I believe it does that, doesn't it?
Not directly.
No.
I don't believe. And so that's my bad. I haven't tested that out. But so I don't care so much where the commenting happens. I'm just happy that it does. I want people being able to talk and to share things. So if it happens on the Facebook, that's fine. You know, if it happens on the blog, that's fine too. It's only been a month.
Yep.
You know, and but since I have kept the level at the same the amount of content that gets posted to Facebook at the same level, if not more, I'm not encouraging people, to be honest, to move away and focus on the website. They're focused on Facebook.
Did you go back and move old postings into the blog? Because I thought that I saw that you had postings going back several months.
Yeah, so I originally set up the blog as a WordPress install and was using an if this then that to pull content from Facebook. Every time I published to Facebook, just go ahead and publish onto WordPress for me. And that didn't work very well, formatting this and that. But what it did do is it gave me, back to, I think, February is when I started it.
Yeah.
I have all this content. And so I spent some time going back and cleaning it up and cleaning up. And then it was 2 a.m. and I decided I'll do it again tomorrow. And then I didn't get a chance. And then it was Thursday. And then all of a sudden it's been 2 weeks. It is on my list of to-dos is to continue to go back through those, you know, back to February, cleaning up those articles and formatting them nicer. Because they have headlines like Petworth News 12/26/7, you know, 14 at 3:33 p.m. That's the headline because they just pulled it over.
Yeah.
But I do because some of those articles are popular. And to be honest, the main reason I created the separate website was the Facebook algorithm and the way that Facebook shares and puts my posts into my readers' timelines was a problem. I would write a post, and maybe one of three of my readers would see it. And I thought it was valuable to read it. And so then, you know, I either had to find ways to make that post more interesting to share, or I had to find a different way of helping people get to that content. And so when I created the blog was this way you could come to the site and easily find everything I've written in the past week, past 2 weeks. Whereas on Facebook, it'll show you the past couple of days. And as you scroll through a timeline, it then only shows you highlights. There's this little button on the right-hand side of the timeline that you're looking at, say, on Petworth News. As you scroll, you'll see this little button, font size 0.9, basically, that you can click and change it from highlights to all stories. And then you can see everything I've posted. It's just not happening.
Well, Facebook doesn't even have an easily accessible search button.
No, that would be phenomenal.
Right. I post things to friends and family all the time. And I'm like, oh, where was that article I posted 3 days ago? Good luck finding it. Yeah. It's well, buried so
there's
far
the,
down.
There's the benefit of the site searching Google. Like, yep. I have to do that as well. I'll think, you know, I know I published something on this. So I'll just go to Google and do site, you know, colon, facebook.com/Petworth News, and then put in my search term. And I get back the results of things I published. And then I can go pull them, but that's not known by everybody as an easy way to search a site.
And you had mentioned you moved over to Squarespace.
I did, yeah.
And I've have some personal experience with them, but I wanted to get your opinion. How do you like it so far?
I'm about 85% happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I come from a web background. I've been doing web design and web development for a very long time. 19 years. And so I like the control of a WordPress site where you can really get granular and detailed. But as a one-man shop, a lot easier going to a platform like Squarespace where you just basically sort of launch and you can just sort of slide the customization for font size and drop your images in. I do like it. It makes it pretty easy to just go ahead and publish and manage. It's got some bugs, it's got some issues, mm-hmm. and I'd like more granular control. But you know, there's no sponsorship here, but as a platform to publish, it's really quick and easy. And it's actually the third site I've set up on Squarespace.
I actually really like them for blogs. Like, if you've got LiveJournal, WordPress site, think you want to hold on to it, actually take ownership over it. It's pretty good service.
Yeah. One of the things I liked about it, and I would recommend it for an easy way, not if you want a really quality site. For that, you go to Foresight, obviously. But
a really expensive quality site.
but one that's effective. But no, I launched a site back in the fall called ward4candidatesinfo.com. When we were looking, when the
not dot info,
not dot info, because I thought it'd be confusing for people. I'm very well aware.
Just ward4.info.
Could be, but then most people don't realize that .info is an actual extension, mm-hmm. and that, like, well, is it .info.com? So, no, it's not. It's just easier to say. And in fact, after running the site for a while, I so wished I'd gone with a shorter domain name, but it was clear anyway. But Mayor Bowser was of D.C. was our ward for council person, and when she was elected, there was a field of 22 initial candidates for her slot, with no primary, just an open vote. And I wanted to create a more level playing field and an opportunity for people to get information about the candidates that you, there was no other way. Like, if you just wanted to know, how did you find out? So I created this website and I created profiles for all the candidates and then solicited them to provide profiles, candidate overviews, position statements, you know, a picture, and then somehow cajoled them to answer 5 community questions a week, where I had a question box. People could come in, give me their questions, submit their questions using Google Forms and such, and then I would send out an email to the candidates with a link to a Google form, and they would submit their answers. And I don't know why they did it, but they all the candidates did it, and they all created profiles. And by the end, you know, the site reached about, I forget the actual numbers here, 6,000 to 8,000. 6,000 to 8,000, and had about 40 or 60 some odd thousand page views, and that was with just publicizing it via listservs. No, it would have been great if I had gone out with flyers and going door to door, but I used Squarespace for that, and I launched. I mean, I designed and built the site in a night, you know, and then the rest of the time was putting content in.
You had mentioned earlier one of the issues with reaching your Facebook audience was that when you would make a post, it's only going to 1 to 2%.
Like, yeah.
Not a significant amount.
Yeah.
And now you're using MailChimp to get folks out of there. And I actually had this conversation come up with a friend of mine who just launched kind of a fly-by-night organization. They had 140 people sign up. He said, you know, I'm already, it's been a week, I've outgrown Gmail. Mm-hmm. What can I do? You know, I have no coding experience. And MailChimp is good, but you can get in the weeds pretty quickly. But I wanted to just mention that there's a service offered by MailChimp called Tiny Letter. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tiny Letter is a no-thrills bulk email service. It's completely free. If you need to send to a few hundred or just a few thousand people, and you're not going to style or do anything fancy, it's actually really good. It mm-hmm. just gets your letter out there. And if you're growing a local community blog or have a newsletter with a small following and you want that real intimate feel, it's actually a really great service. And it's something they used to promote. And unless you know about it, I don't think you see it anymore.
Yeah, I chose MailChimp because of I have a weekly newsletter I do on Fridays, Saturdays. I give myself the freedom to be. It'll be Friday or Saturday that I send it.
Repost this on Monday.
That's right.
Or Tuesday or Wednesday.
But because, and again, Monday. it was another platform to make up for the problems of the Facebook algorithm and people missing content. Was if you sign up for the newsletter, this way you're guaranteed in your inbox to see, I will send out a list of what I consider to be the most important or that were the most popular articles. Now, if you're a regular reader, it might be duplicative. I already saw that.
And are you getting like some kind of RSS feed where you're scraping Petworth News from the Washington Post and from
all my own content services,
all your own
it's content. Just mine. Okay. Just mine. The newsletter is just the articles that I've posted, and that's it. just whatever I had on the site. And just I thought that I think is important. Not every single post. So I will skip ones that were, yeah, it's nice, but that's not something that you necessarily need to know.
Pictures of Zoe.
Those are important. Pictures of Teddy, my dog Teddy.
Tell us about Washington Post, by the way. That was kind of exciting.
Yeah, Washington Post was very exciting. So I have an agreement with the Washington Post with the local opinion section for them to...
Is this WashingtonPost.com?
WashingtonPost.com. For them to republish content from Petworth News. And they basically can come in and just take whatever they want. And, you know, if they like that article, they can take it. They can excerpt it. They can take the full thing.
Can they email you if they do this?
They're supposed to. I just signed the contract with them.
Is this a cash money deal?
No. It's just there's no money on the table. It's just basically they get the content to post on WashingtonPost.com, and they put a link back to me. So it's great from an SEO perspective.
That's going to do wonders.
Yeah, it's great from an SEO perspective. I'm happy for that. It's great from an exposure. And frankly, I'd be thrilled if they thought an article I wrote was good enough to publish in the Post. And of course, theoretically, if it was good enough, they might have hit the print paper, but... I could go out in some of all opinions local is the section. But of course they're not interested in like, hey, Saturday's the farmer's market. But you know, like I'm involved with something called, it's the first cohort of the Community Engagement Academy with the Metropolitan Police Department. So this is like a 6 to 8 week program where I'm spending hours. yesterday it was 8:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Saturday it's about 6 hours with them, and started it back in earlier this month in June. And it's an effort by the police department to be more transparent and show people how they do their jobs and why they do it a certain way and what programs they have. You know, for example, this weekend it's an all-day sort of session on use of force and what the rules are.
Is this like an episode of The Wire?
Yeah.
Is this what it's like?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Everyone knows that transparency comes in all-day events.
Yeah, well,
that's gotta be.
It does. 6 hours
dedicate a full day? Well, yeah. Then maybe you'll find out about it on a blog.
Well, yeah. What's interesting is I haven't posted any articles about it yet. I mean, I did post that I was going to it, and the reaction to that was actually pretty interesting, and it's worth a conversation at some point. But I actually, that's one of the articles I have on my to-do list draft. I've already started writing is sort of a first look at the academy, because there's a lot of interest. Like, why are they having this academy, and why wasn't I invited to participate? What is it that you guys are doing? And so I'm writing up an article about that, and that's the kind of thing the Washington Post, I think, is very interested in. They're not interested in the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. They say they are, and God bless it there. That's awesome. Great. But I think what they're interested in is what is the
thinking policy making within the police department, which may be more of an entrenched organization.
Yeah. I think it's literally what's the local thoughts within the communities, within D.C. And I think they're looking at the more outspoken bloggers as those I'm going to put this in quotes, the air quotes, which you can't see, but the sort of like thought leaders of the area. And I'm just going to say more of a mouthpiece for the area.
Do you get a lot of people who solicit you for a blog outreach who say like, hey, my garage sale, can you put a notice up about that?
Yeah, I do. I get some of those. And when I respond like, hey, you know, send me some information and I'll be happy to write up about you. And, you know, if it's someone looking
at... somebody did want to contact you.
Well, they can reach me at, you know, petworthnews@gmail.com or drew@petworthnews.org. Either one will work. Of course, it's petworthnews.org. I have an article that I'm going to do actually later tonight about a cat adoption at the local hardware store, you know, because that's important to the local community. That's what people want to know, what's going on in my neighborhood.
I was there for that at Annie's. They do it once a month or something?
Or they do it like every weekend or something like that.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of cats in there last time I was over there. You know, well, it strikes me that, I never really put this together, but I've known you for 5 or 6 years, I guess, maybe a couple
longer,
more years.
Actually.
Has it?
Yeah.
Everything's 5 or 6 years ago. I graduated college about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I know. You look it. Yeah. On the radio.
But I always thought of you as kind of like a technology project manager, you know, kind of person. Then I looked at your LinkedIn profile last night as I was doing my research, and you know, there's a lot of writing in there.
That's right.
And it strikes me that this is like the perfect nexus for you.
Yeah.
It's writing. You're also kind of a people person, and you're out there engaged in the community, and then you also get to play with the SEO and think about ways that you can kind of increase your reach through technology. So
yeah.
This is like this is a perfect job for you. So if you can get paid, would you do this full time?
You know, I probably would, actually.
Or would you get sick of it?
No, if The Verge hired me, I would do it full time. I could write about Apple products. That's all I would do with the rest of my life. I think what I like about what I'm doing is exactly what you described. It's the I'm a writer by both sort of nature and nurture. I've trained, you know, my degree is creative writing, and I'm actually a really shy guy who gets over that by being very more gregarious and extroverted. You know, I walk into
a lot of bluster.
No, I walk into a room. I used to walk into a room and think like, well, you know, geez, I don't really belong. And so I walk into a room and feel like everyone there is my friend. You know, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. And it changes people's attitudes when you come up. And so when I show up places now, though, I also get the, hey, you're that pet with news guy, right?
So I was going to ask that. Have you been solicited on the street? Hey, I know you.
Yeah. You know, honestly, several times a week.
Really?
Yeah. And just today, as a matter of fact.
Where was the most unexpected place somebody recognized you?
Most
were you like in the bathroom at
right.
the new Thai restaurant thinking yeah. about what you're going to write when you get home later tonight?
No, most of those have been on the street, or where people see me coming down the street and they're like, "Hey, I recognize you," which is on purpose. My face is on it's on both the blog and the Facebook page on purpose because I didn't want the site to be faceless. Just who's publishing that? No, you know exactly who it is. It's true. There's a personality behind this, but people know who I am when they see me. And there's times where I'll be on the metro and I'll see somebody looking at me, and my first thought is like, "Is there something up? Like, is something on my face? Like, And I realize I'm getting like the little glances, you know. And then as we're getting off the metro, they're like, "Hey, you're Drew, right? Like, oh yeah. Well, I'm so and so, and I just really like your blog, and I like what you're doing for the community." And I'll be honest, the first about 50 times that happened, I was completely surprised. Like, really? Like you. You like the blog?
No, you're like, stand back. No. I'll give you an autograph.
No.
Just don't touch the coat.
Every time.
photos.
Every time, the first thing I do is put my hand out. Hey, are you Drew? Hey, I put my hand right out. Hey, what's your name? Like, I'm Drew Schneider. Nice to meet you. You know, I had a guy come up to me at this outdoor festival like 2 weeks ago. And he got my name wrong at first. He's like, Dave? And so I didn't pay attention. And he's like, Drew. I turn around and he just started going on and was kind of babbling at me. Oh, I really like your blog. And just and I realized, like, he was kind of a fan, right? That was, like, a fan. Like, I just remember talking to you and really nice to meet you. And, you know, and I was like, oh, that's really nice. And
now you got to learn to put people at ease.
Right. Well, I was chatting with him, and he was like, that's my wife over there. You know, wave, honey. That's my wife over there. So, but I made the point to, after I was finished, I was taking some pictures. I made a point to walk over to where he was sitting on the grass. It was an outdoor area. And walk over and introduce myself to his wife and his friend, and hi, I'm Drew. You know, just want to say hello to you because I thought maybe it would make him feel good if I came over. And that I hope that doesn't make me like it's not meant to be like, oh, I'm so magnanimous, but like if that made him happy, and that was great, you know, that made him happy, and that's a connection again, that's the connection to the neighborhood, mm-hmm. right?
Well, this has been great conversation. We started a tradition last two podcasts ago mm-hmm. where we ask people what their favorite nonprofit is. Can you think off the top of your head of any nonprofit that really gets you excited and something that's a cause worth telling people about?
Certainly.
Besides petworthnews.org. Are you incorporated? You're not incorporated.
No, I'm not incorporated. So for me, you know, I'm very focused on civil rights and you know, same-sex marriage. So human rights group is very important to me.
People mistake you for a gay man with the earring.
You know, actually, I'm old now. Nobody hits on me. No, I don't. You know, married to a wonderful woman with a wonderful child. But I believe in the sort of parity amongst all. Everyone deserves to have a happy life, and everyone deserves to have the joy of marriage. It is just a joyful.
Or the joy of not marriage.
The joy of not marriage.
That's Brian. That's Brian's choice.
Yeah, you know the joke about the person who's crying on the 20th anniversary, and the woman says, "Well, honey, why are you crying? It's so sweet. It's been 20 years we've been married." And he says, "I would have been out for murder by now." But marriage.
Send that to my sister.
No, so for me, that's my number one. I would say, you know,
Human Rights Campaign.
Yes, Human Rights Campaign.
Okay. Thank you. Well, this has been great. We don't really have a sign-off yet, do we? We need to think of something.
We're getting there. We got the intro music. We've got a sponsor. We've got our one question.
With our one question. All right. We'll just slowly fade into darkness for this one. Fade to black.